Good morning, everyone. This is Tia, your marketing specialist here at Safe Money Strategies. I want to go ahead and just welcome you all and thank you for joining us for our biweekly Monday morning producer power call. We don't have a lot of time and there's a lot to cover, so I'm going to go ahead and to Scott Harris. Scott?
Thank you very much, Tia, and good morning to everybody. I hope that you had a good couple of weeks since our last power call and that you're able to do a little R&R over the weekend. The weather is beautiful down here in Florida if you're in this area. And I hope you're able to take advantage of all the great things that are going on in the community. I've got lots going on today with the power call. I want to obviously cover the market performance. We want to share with you a little bit about the IPO situation that's happening right now in the marketplace, the Greek debt situation that it looks like it came to a little bit of closure last week, what's going on with oil and gas, and also want to share with you a very interesting article I read from Rob Arnott, who is one of the managers over at PIMCO. Some very interesting information about the baby boomers that I want to share with you. But we're going to get right into that, and after I finish up my segment, Tia is going to get on and share with you what's going on in the annuity world and some just housekeeping things that need to be brought up to date if you are looking at working with some of the carriers that that we can provide you with. But let's get right into what's going on with the stock markets. You know, last week was kind of a week where the stock market just meandered along. When you take a look at market performance, the Dow fell 0.4%, ended up closing a little over 12,900. The S&P rose 4.96% on Friday. It finished 0.4% up for the week, so it kind of eked out a small little bit of gain. And then the NASDAQ was up 0.6% to finish off at 2988. Both the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ, that's the fourth consecutive week in a row, they were up. And if you take a look too at the Dow, interesting statistic, on Monday it marked the 45th day without a 100-point decline. And it hasn't happened since 2006. So it was the first, the 45th trading day without a 100-point decline. So very interesting that we're seeing that, and what that tells us is that volume is not very, very high. It's telling us that there's just not a lot of, almost a lackluster interest in the stock market right now. I wanted to share with you something that I also pulled up, and I touched on this in one of our previous power calls, and that's what the insiders are doing with major corporations, and that also obviously has an effect on the outlook of the stock market and their own particular companies. If you take a look at the insiders, and by insiders I'm talking about, you know, the top CEOs of a company, presidents, vice presidents of the companies, people on the inside of their own corporations. If you take a look at insider selling in the month of January, we saw insider selling, February, we saw $13 of selling versus $1 of buying by corporate insiders. So that's $13 of selling for every $1 of buying for corporate insiders. So just keep that in mind. You know, that's not always a barometer as far as where the market's going to go, but on a probability and a percentage basis, it is. So keep that in mind that the insiders are selling right now, and they have been for the last probably 45 to 60 days. That tells us a lot about what their outlook is for their corporations and the outlook for the economy. We also have to keep in mind that what's going on in the earnings market. Earnings estimates have been steadily dropping since July. They see that. They understand what's going on. They understand that the market is high right now. The Dow Jones has that psychological factor right at 13,000. It cannot break through that. It hasn't yet. If it does and stays above the 13,000 mark, then we'll probably see the Dow continue a little bit more. But it's really having a difficult time breaking through it. There isn't enough good news out there to make that Dow bust through that 13 and go forward from there. If you take a look at what's going on in the mutual fund industry, we always like to take a look to see how the cash flows are coming in and out of the equity side of the mutual fund market. In fact, January was the ninth month in a row that there were more outflows in the equity mutual funds than inflows. So once again, people are selling their equity mutual funds and they're going into the bond market. All right, they're just looking at what's going on in the economy, what's going on in the world, this whole debt issue, the elections going on, the situation with Iran. They're taking a look at everything that's going on right now, and they're realizing that we need to keep our money safe. So we've got to keep that in mind, too. Also, if you take a look at the daily trade volume on the New York Stock Exchange, it has dropped sharply from when the rally started beginning late last year. So the volume has dropped off. We're seeing outflows on the equity mutual funds, and earning estimates have been going down. So keep that in mind when you're talking with your clients. You know, we're, you know, a lot of your clients are out there saying, oh, look at how much money I've made so far. Well, maybe it's time to take some of that money off the table if they took the risk and put monies into the stock market. You as their advisors need to share that information with them. Now, what's fueling this market rally right now? I kind of did some research on this over the weekend, and what's happening with a lot of the rallying that's been going on is that corporations are flush with cash. Okay, they can borrow money really, really, really cheap right now. You know, with the Fed funds rate roughly at zero, they can borrow money at next to nothing. And this cash is sitting in their coffers. And what ends up happening is instead of having them use that money for expansion or buying new machinery or buying new equipment, what have you, what they're doing is they're buying back their own stock. They're buying their own stock back in their own company. Okay, the reason being is they've got cheap money and they realize they're not making any money off of the monies that they do have in their coffers. And if their company's paying a dividend, you might as well buy that stock. So what's happening is they are buying back a lot of their stock. So that's one of the reasons why the market has been going up. It's kind of been a lackluster return the last probably 4 or 5 weeks. And it's because a lot of people aren't interested in going to the market, but you still have large corporations buying back their own stock. Also wanted to share with you, too, the IPO market. You know, an IPO market is a good barometer as far as a good, solid, healthy economy. When you see venture capitalists and you see initial public offerings from corporations, when you see that volume increase, that tells that there's optimism out there, that companies are willing to take a chance and go into the open marketplace and sell their stock and to increase some of their capital. Well, we're taking a look at the IPO market right now, and the IPO market is down. It's the lowest it's been since 2008. And we remember what happened in 2008. We had that big credit crisis, big credit crunch. A lot of bonds melted down. We saw companies go bankrupt. Well, that's the same level that the IPOs are this year as it was back in 2008. So we're seeing the volume and activity in the IPOs in the venture capitalist area. It's not there right now yet. So all this hubbub about the market going up, everything looking better in this global, in this United States economy, it's inching along right now, folks. It's inching along. And I'm going to share with you an article later on in the Power Call from Rob Arnott. He's going to share with us a little bit about, what's going on in the economy and what to expect the future as far as growth goes. So some good information that that he has and I want to share with you too. Now, going back into the overall Greek debt situation, kind of interesting. We saw that basically there was a credit default on Greek bonds. A lot of the bonds, in fact, there's something like $173 billion, that's U.S. dollars, of Greek debt that was held in private hands. This is Greek debt. We're talking about government debt that's held in private hands, you know, investors, other countries, other corporations. That was written down by 53.5%. So if you're holding a Greek bond, it's now worth less than half of what you paid for it. And interestingly enough, they did a lot of swapping of new bonds within this whole arrangement. And if you take a look at the 11-year Greek bond, it's now paying 19% interest. And this is a Greek government bond, folks. It's paying 19%. Now, if you want to hold the bond to 2042, you're going to get 14% on your money. So this is what's happening with the Greek debt situation. They are by far nowhere near out of the woods there. You know what's happening. This is the first round of cutting back, of restructuring their debt. They're still going to have problems. If you take a look, they are in the midst of a significant recession right now. Unemployment rate's about at 20%. People are leaving that country. In fact, it's gotten to a point now where some of the surrounding countries are talking of seriously about clamping down on immigration into their countries because so many Greeks, particularly the young Greeks, they're leaving Greece and going to these other European nations to find work, and it's causing problems because those other countries have issues too with their economies. So that problem with Greece has not been rectified, It's going to continue to be a problem. They're only kicking the can down the road, but at least they kicked it a little further this time so that they don't have to address it maybe for another 6 to 12 months. Next up, though, however, Spain. Spain just announced, too, over the weekend that, guess what, we didn't meet our GDP numbers, and we're not going to be able to pay off some of our debt and the interest payments on some of our debt. So guess what? We're going to see Greece part two in the form of Spain part one. So look for that next to happen. Spain is teetering because their economy is soft. They're having the same issues as Greece, where their government has been paying all these entitlement programs for so many years, and they can't afford them because their economies are not doing well. So once again, big, big problems overseas. That's affecting what's going on with their exporting and the importing of this country. It's going to overall affect what the stock markets do throughout the world. On that same notion, you take a look at oil prices over the weekend. Oil prices fell a little bit, and the reason why is that the Chinese trade balance plunged $31.5 billion in the red in the month of February, which means that they actually imported more than they exported. And as a result, it shows a slowing of the Chinese economy. They did not export as many goods and services. Why is that? Because the economies of the world are slowing down, particularly Western Europe, the Eurozone, and here in this country. So as a result, the price of per barrel did go down, and it looks like that trend is going to continue. China has said that we're going to probably devalue the yuan again, and we're going to lower interest rates so they can hopefully stimulate growth. But I personally feel that that's not the big issue. The big issue is overseas economies are slowing down. The demand is not there for their goods and services. So once again, we're seeing problems globally with how the economies are faring. And as a result, watch for the stock market and how that's going to perform. In fact, that trade deficit in China is the worst it's been since 1989. So we are seeing problems overseas, and as a result, it just kind of is a barometer. If you take a look at China, they're one of the largest exporters of goods and services in the world. If you take a look at if they're starting to have trade imbalances, trade deficits, it tells us that the global economy is slowing down dramatically. So keep your eye on that one. Alrighty, I want to share with you an article that I picked up, which I thought was very interesting. And there's a fellow that Steve and I follow quite closely, and he does work with PIMCO, and he also has his own asset management company. His name is Rob Arnott. And Rob Arnott, very savvy investor, basically manages two major funds for PIMCO, the All Asset Fund and the All Asset All Authority Fund. Both are kind of hybrid funds in that they are funds of funds, but what they do, what he has the ability to do is go into many different types of asset classes, whether it be bonds, commodities, stocks, what have you, but he's a very savvy investor. And I read an article about, in a way he had to say, over the weekend, and again, very interesting what his prognosis is for the economy and the stock market going forward. And he touches on what's going on with the baby boomers. So I paid particular attention when I read this one because this affects what we do with our practice, and I know what most of you are doing with your own practices, and that is you're going after the baby boomer market. And I'm going to read a couple excerpts from what he has to say because this is something that you as the advisor need to know to explain to your client what's going on going forward. And I'm just going to go ahead and read a couple of these lines here just and then make some comments on them. He said that the title of this article is called Bad News for Boomers. It says if you're a baby boomer, you've got a big problem when it comes to the investment returns you can expect in retirement. It's the sheer number of other boomers who are also getting ready to leave the workplace and rely on their portfolios to help pay the bills. The problem in a nutshell, the ratio of retirees to active workers in the United States will balloon. As retirees sell stocks and then bonds to support themselves, there'll be fewer younger investors to buy those securities, keeping a lid on prices. Meanwhile, strong demand from boomers and a limited supply of workers will boost the prices of goods and services the boomers need. That's it in a nutshell, and think about this. The ratio right now is like 10 to 1. 10 retirees for one new worker going into the workforce, a 10 to 1 ratio. 10 boomers retiring to one particular person new person going into the workforce. So what happens is, and I know I've read this before from other people who are in the demographics, what it says is that when people retire, they start liquidating their assets. They're no longer in that accumulation phase. They start selling their stocks, their bonds. And what ends up happening is it puts pricing pressures because, you know, how things work in the stock market. When somebody sells, there's a buyer on the other side of that transaction. Of course, the same would hold if it's vice versa. When you sell, there's got to be a buyer on the other side of that transaction. So what happens is here is that if there's all these people selling securities to fund their retirement, what does it do for pricing if no one's on the other side of the fence buying these the other side of the transaction? So if someone's selling, there's no one else buying, what does it do to prices? Obviously, it pushes prices down. So he said this is a concern that a lot of the retirees are going to have because, once again, there's just not the demographics don't work right. There's just not enough people going into the workforce that's going to obviously buy up the stocks and bonds that are getting sold. He also says the fact that, you know, the baby boomers are retiring and, you know, they want to buy stuff still. And with less and less workforce out there, it's going to have a tendency to push prices up. So what does this tell us looking forward? Pricing is going to be coming down on stocks and bonds, and the price for goods and services will potentially be going up due to inflationary trends. So think about this as an advisor. Think about how to position your clients' portfolios going forward. He also goes on to say that rates of return are likely to be anemic and are likely to become more so for those who save later. So what he's pointing out here is the fact that interest rates are going to remain low, returns are going to be low, simply because, once again, that supply and demand, a lot of people selling, not enough people buying. If you take a look at what he is projecting, he said that forward-looking return on stocks is going to be about 5% or so before inflation. And he said if you take a look at bonds, and bonds are going to be yielding between 2 to 4%, he said that a balanced portfolio, which most advisors are recommending, is a balanced portfolio, is likely to deliver about 4%. And then he said net of inflation and net of taxes, that's awfully close to a zero real rate of return, a real after-tax net rate of return. So he's looking at stocks to be at about 5%, bonds between 2 and 4. And if you take a look, if you're having a balanced portfolio, what does that mean? Net rate of return, you're going to get close to 0% rate of return going forward. How can you have a good retirement when you have those kinds of rates of returns? So you've got issues here for a lot of people going forward. And once again, this is where the annuity fits in so well with those income riders. You know, we know that the income rider is not the cash out value, but we do know that, you know, you can get the 6.7% or 6.5% simple or 7% simple, depending on the contract. That's money in the bank. It's money in the bank. If we're going to have lackluster returns going forward, you got to let your clients know here's a way for you to give yourself the guarantees and the peace of mind. It's very interesting because he goes on in this article and said that people who are projecting, you know, 8 or 10% or 9% rates of return, he said that's very naive to project that going forward. And immediately what I thought about is a lot of the variable annuity proposals that I've been bumping into in competitive situations where a lot of these individuals are projecting, you know, 8% rates of return. And, you know, I think that's doing a very big-time disservice to folks because that's not going to be reality. And I'm also noticing, in fact, I talked to one of my friends who works for MetLife. He said that, look, their company is lowering the benefits on their income riders, and he said a lot of other companies in the industry are eliminating their income riders or they're charging so much for them that they just don't make any sense anymore. So we have right now in front of us a wonderful opportunity with the index world because of this low return environment, because the stock market does not look like it's going to do well for the next 5, 10, 15 years perhaps. For a lot of baby boomers going into retirement, we can step in and we have the solution. Okay. If you have any questions on this article, it's a great one, or anything that I discuss, obviously make sure you give us a call. We'd be more than happy to go over what I just discussed. I'd like to bring up Tia right now. She's got some interesting information she wants to share with us from some of the carriers and some of the things you need to watch out for to make sure that your business gets processed very efficiently. Tia, take it away.
Thanks, Scott. Well, first, just a couple of housekeeping. Aviva and Allianz both had, at the beginning of this month, rate changes. They lowered the rates. very important that you're aware of that, you're not quoting the incorrect rates. After this call, I'm going to send out an email to everybody kind of giving you just some highlights of what we talked about, and I'll attach those rate sheets for you so that you have the accurate rates. Also, I sent out last week, Great American is making some changes to their income rider, and I know that not everyone is familiar or sells Great American, but you know they have a fantastic niche product, the Safe Return, and their income rider at the time currently wasn't allowing for a free withdrawal in year one. Well, now they're adding that year one free withdrawal. Very important things like this when they come out that you're aware, because you know if you're not telling your clients and sharing with them all of the new products that are out, everything that's available, you know someone else probably is. So anyway, that's going to be out this Thursday. I sent out the webinar registration last week. I'm going to send it out again today. I think you know it can only benefit you to have this knowledge. So you may never sell it, but you know what? You might have a client that this fits perfect for. So anyway, that'll be coming out later on today. Also, a lot of the agents are starting to sell different, you know, carriers that they haven't sold in the past. And with that, there's a lot of different requirements within the company. And some of those, even though it's not state mandated in our state yet, in the state of Florida, in some of your states if you're not in Florida, but some of the carriers require that you do their suitability product training. If you're not doing that suitability product training and you are presenting a product, you get signed applications, you now have to go back, do their training, and get new paperwork signed. And no one likes to go back to the client the second time. So it's very important to find out which carriers require that suitability training prior to soliciting the sale. Also, if there's any questions that you have, you know, we're always here. If you have a case that you'd like some help with or illustrations or just want to shoot around some ideas, that's what we're here for. Scott and Steve are available all the time. Give us a call here at the office, 866-324-3800. And, of course, you can always reach us at email, Tia, Scott, or Steve at safemoneymarketing.com. Okay. And that's it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Tia. And as always, thank you so much for listening to today's Power Call. If you do have any questions about the content and material, let us know, obviously. And we will be having the Power Call, today's Power Call, on our website, replay if you want to sit back and listen to it at another time. So once again, 866-324-3800, 866-324-3800. Thanks so much for listening today, and we look forward to working with you sometime soon and into the well future. Bye-bye.